I just want to say this, that I should pretend to be sick more often. Because I feel a lot of love when I pretend to be sick. It is just so good to be together. I'm so excited that the traffic patterns does not interrupt our worship of our great God. The little rain doesn't affect, but rather coming together and getting inspired and encouraged by singing, by fellowship, and maybe even the Word of God presented will also encourage and inspire you this morning. You know, but I am certainly feeling two ways this morning. Certainly, it is without a doubt that we come together and we see each other's faces, and some faces that we've not seen for a while, we're very encouraged to see those faces. And then there are some people, on the other hand, that are not here, that are sick, you know, or and that's certainly not as encouraging. But you'd have to be buried under a rock somewhere not to realize the atrocities that are going on in the world. Reportedly, about 6,000 people have died in a matter of a couple of weeks with the war in the Middle East. And so it's times like this when you realize, because of the new cycle, you can forget some wars. We're reminded, of course, we have a number of people here from the Ukraine who are still going through so many challenges. And certainly, it's a painful reminder of the animosity that is in the world. And coming to worship God, as we didn't give it a second thought, the biggest problem we had this morning, they blocked the road at Carling at 417, if you were coming from the west this morning. It's not that we were wondering if an airstrike was going to hit us. That's a sobering thought. I went to pick up Alex this morning, and he said, are we having a third world war? Living in North America, sometimes we can forget the safety of with which we live. And so it is with a sobered heart and mind that we come together. And so, to remind you, for those who have been coming here for a while, we have begun a 3-year journey. Yahweh with the people, Jesus with the people, and the Spirit with the people. It's an endeavor that we have not done in this way ever in our fellowship. And so we began this journey a few weeks ago, and today we'll conclude the starting point thread, the story of our faith. Then for the rest of the year, we'll have another, and I'll talk about that later on, but it's going to be called God's Created World. And so we will have an overview, which the first 4 weeks have been, and then we will continue our worship and study of God's Word as we find, and the whole goal is this, that we find ourselves in God's story. Sometimes the arrogance of us flip that around. And sometimes the arrogance of that, what it does, it says we want God to be in our story. And hopefully as we finish this journey for 3 years, and by the way, you don't have to start, let's say a year from now, many more people come into God's kingdom, and that, are they going to be able to fit in? Believe me, it is going to be okay. As a matter of fact, I'd love to introduce you to another couple that had actually moved from the church in Haiti, in Port-au-Prince, and that's Ralph and Fodia. Please go ahead and stand on up. Welcome. And one of the reasons why we do that, we want people to know who they need to invite over to their house. And so on and so forth. So don't be surprised that you're going to have a lot of invitations. We certainly want to welcome you, and they just moved here 10 days ago. And so we look forward to them becoming a part of the family and getting integrated. Thank you very, very, very much. Awesome. But that's what it's all about. And of course, one of the first things I did was I give them a French and an English version of the book and to help them to feel integrated into part of what we're doing. You can join in any way, thankfully, that we did not have to be at creation to understand God's intention for all of us. And it is with that heart and that mindset that we want to do this. You know, the story of our faith is what I'm going to do here today is hopefully as we go through it, you're going to see in it the last three lessons. Now, you can have that, of course, online, and if you want to be more even in sync with what we're doing. The idea of creating a positive and the correct image of God. And then that we got to understand that story is important. And how God tells stories. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at another story today. And it is so important that we understand that aspect of story in our life. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells a lot of stories. And one of the things that we've got to understand, even in the scriptures, is to learn to tell our story and how we fit into God's story. In spite of all the challenges, and we looked at one of the Psalms to help us understand how the Israelites sang about their story and wrote poems about their story, and for us to tell about our story in God's story. And we talked about spirituality, and one of the things that we needed to do was to define what spirituality is, and we defined three terms: repentance, bearing fruit, and excuse me, thank you. And the idea that we've got to make sure that we understand what our walking with God, what does bearing fruit mean? What does spirituality mean? It's our lived out experience, how the Christian life, how we live our life. It's not just a thought, but it's how we conduct ourselves in our daily walk. And bearing fruit, we define that. So, the story of our faith, meaning the overall story, it may surprise you, or it might be just old hat to you, the idea of our story. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 7, there is something that you're going to see that is quite remarkable. And one of the things, I'm going to say this repeatedly until it becomes a habit of ours, is that we are a church that believes in bringing our Bible to church and not just look up there and see the scriptures. Because sometimes what people think, then we don't need the Bible anymore. And so I'm going to have the scripture reference, but not the Bible in and of itself. All right? And so if someone doesn't want to share their Bible with you, I give you permission to take it from them. And don't even give it back to them. But there's a concept in the scriptures that I want to share with you the idea of the story of our faith, of what we believe, our relationship with God. That's what I mean about faith. It's our relationship with God. It's actually a garden-to-garden story. Yes. What in the tarnation are you even talking about? It's a garden-to-garden story. We'll see from the scriptures what it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden. And there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, the trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, there were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headquarters. And in verse 18, it says, the Lord God had said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. This idea that God created a garden from inception. And what God did for us is quite remarkable. This is what it says in the next chapter, this idea of garden continuing in chapter 3, in verse 8 to 10. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. We know the story of what happened after they had disobeyed God. They became aware of their nakedness. And God, you know what the first thing he did? He clothed them to hide their shameful nakedness. But I don't know if you caught that. But there was a relationship and intimacy with God and his people. And you know what it did? It said, in the cool of the day, God came and was walking in the garden. It seems certainly like it's what he did on a common basis. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that that's what we sang about this morning? It's why. How great he is. And yet in the cool of the day, in the garden that he created for us. And there's a concept of temple to temple as well, which will, while there was not a specific temple, but ultimately God himself was the temple and Jesus Christ was the temple. But this garden to garden and temple to temple, because if you turn to the book of Revelation, you would see this idea where the garden was there. In verses 22 to 27, Revelation 21, it says this, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The idea of the temple is where God goes and resides. Okay? Well, if God himself is there, there's no need for a temple or a tabernacle or a tent of meeting. But that's the beauty of this. In the beginning, God himself was the temple, and he was with them. His presence was there. And at the end it says, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the Lord, the glory of God, gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it, and on no day will its gate ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does
what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the book of life. Verses 1 through 5, in the next chapter, the angel showed me the river of the water of life. Does it sound familiar? As clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down from the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 fruits, 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree there are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of the God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The concept of the scriptures of garden to garden, from the beginning and opening chapters in Genesis chapter 1 to the closing chapters of the Bible in Revelation chapter 22 and 21. There is a connection of story there.
That's right.
And the connection of story is that God's temple and God's garden is going to, it's what he intended, and he's going to bring to fruition ultimately. The next 1,184 chapters in the Bible is the time in between. The 1,189 chapters in the scriptures. And the struggle and the fight and the difficulties. This story is told about how God, after man sinned, and what God did, the rest of the story of our faith is about that. And if we don't understand that story, and this becomes a club that we're a part of, and some style and I believe it's largely why a lot of people in certain seasons in their life find it difficult. They don't understand the story of our faith. They don't understand the challenges that comes with that. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning, is this story, the greatest story that was ever told. Man, if you were to tell the story and you were asked to write about it, how many pages would it take? Jesus did it in less than 300 words in Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus tells the story. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story to the right audience. A lot of times, if you remember, the religious elite of that day and age so misunderstood and it squeezed the wrong things out of God's word. And the same message and a sobering statement was made to them. We'll see the statement again. And the statement was this: because you are not bearing fruit, it will be given to other people who would.
And we defined what bearing fruit is. It's not merely helping other people to become Christians. Certainly that's part of it. But the idea of being loving, loving God and loving other people is the primary. It's what it's all about. And if what we do does not result in that, then what we are doing is not bearing the kind of fruit that God desires. And Jesus always told stories when people would ask him questions, and often in them, if they had ears to listen, it will have a message of depth. And we are not far from that. In verses 33 through 46, this is what it says. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. By the way, we don't have time to look at this now, but this is the exact thing that Isaiah 5 talked about. Almost with the same tone and spirit. The tenant seized his servants, they beat one, killed another, and stoned the third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenant treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But the tenants saw the son and said to each other, this is the heir? Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to realize what Jesus was talking about is this idea that God was, after a man has sinned, was creating a story so that ultimately Revelation 21:22 could take place. Right. And he chose the nation of Israel, not because they were special more than anybody else. As a matter of fact, there's reason to believe, according to scriptures, because they were one of the weakest and one of not the wisest. Because God uses those things to shame the wise. And we'll see it again here in a few moments. Sometimes we think God chooses us because how special we are in one sense. Yes, we're specially needy. That's what we are. And if you don't realize that, you've got to get your eyes opened. And so the story goes, he says, let me tell you the story of your faith. And so I've tried to send servants to you. I ask you to bear fruit. You weren't bearing fruits. And so I sent people to you, and you stoned some of them. You killed some of them. You ostracized some of them. Good night. I tried to use some of your enemies to help you to understand, not once, but twice. You still rejected me. You still were not bearing fruit. And so Jesus is telling this story and he's building it up. And he's coming in for a landing. He's telling me, he says, do you get it, guys? He says, yes. Who are these tenants? How can these tenants be so blind, deaf, hard-hearted? How can it be? So he said, the owner said, you know what? Maybe Some of the servants that I sent, maybe they weren't the right type of people. So I'm going to send my son. They've got to respect him. They got to respect him. I mean, he's the heir, so he's to come to collect the fruit, the wine from the vineyard. And the people concocted a story where they said, hey, wait a minute. If we kill this son, we can keep all the stuff. And that's what they did. And you could almost feel the raising of the temperature of the people who were listening to say, how dare they? So when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? Look what in verse 41 says. Well, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end. And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. The temperature were raised with them to a feverish level. You ever been to a concert? You guys ever been to a concert?
Yeah.
You ever gone in the mosh pit of a concert? I know Rob would say yes. I mean, you didn't have to know much more. And you just talk. I mean, you know what happens in the mosh pit, right? It's right at the front of the concert. The singer is singing or the band is singing. And the mosh pit, it was absolute mayhem madness that is going on. People are literally throwing people and passing people around on hands. I mean, it's mayhem. There's not one person alive that knows that says, what was I even thinking? But what happens is there is a raising of the temperature of people where they are saying, man, let's do this. And so everybody is just chiming in, so to speak, in this. And so what happens is quite remarkable. I'm not sure what's happening here, but okay, it's all good. All right, good. And so they said, let's get rid of these people. And so Jesus wasn't finished with the parable yet. So this is what he says. Jesus said to them, okay, cool. Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, this is a scripture we looked at last week. I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. As Jesus often does in the scriptures, he quotes a psalm. It's Psalm 118. Interestingly, and I think it's just an interesting point. I'm not saying more than anything that needs to be said, but it happens to be the chapter that is in the very middle of the Bible. And Jesus is saying, the rejection of what the builders did, that stone actually is going to become the cornerstone.
And then this is what it says. We'll extrapolate a little in a second. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables,
they knew he was talking about them.
You know what they tried to do next? They looked for a way to arrest him, and they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet.
A favorite pastime of people today is church hopping. And they go to churches because they want to hear what they want to hear. And if they like the song service and they like the lighting and the right person preaching and in a timely manner, the length of service, the color of the skin of the person, and it suits me, I'm there! Until it doesn't.
I'm not sure I fully appreciate it yet, but I'm certainly on my way to appreciating it. I like when I'm sitting there and someone says something to me that rattles my cage.
That gets me a little squirmish in my seat.
I heard one man say, good preaching comforts the disturbed and disturbs the comfortable.
I'm not sure that's the exact definition, but it certainly fits. These guys didn't like it. They were doing the exact thing. And Jesus was talking about what they were going to do to him. And they were so blind before their very eyes, that which what he was talking about, that prophecy, was going to be fulfilled in a week. A few seconds earlier, they were all with him. Yeah, those wretches, wretched. Yeah, get rid of them. How can they? Oh, wait a minute, that's us. Kill him.
And that's the repeated story of our faith. And sometimes we fall into this trap. Man,
good. I became a Christian. I got baptized. I'm ready. Cool. Cruise control. See you at the end. And the bearing of fruit is not evident. And the warning for them is the same for us.
And Jesus was unbelievable in the way that he was able to present these things.
We were created with a purpose. When we were recreated, this idea that we were created in God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to what? Do good works. To bear fruit. I used to get offended when someone said to me, Tony, you've changed. Now I say thank you. Hopefully for the better. Somehow I used to think, no, it's a badge of honor that I'm the same person. I better not be. I want to keep bearing fruit of loving God and loving people. And if those are not the marks that I have in my body, then I don't have any marks that's worth anything at all. If it's about me justifying my life, if it's about me creating a world where God's laws has become so rigid that I have laws upon laws, and those have superseded God's laws. See, I grew up in a denomination where I knew more about my denomination than what the Bible teaches. And when someone asked me, well, where does the Bible say that? You know what my answer was? I'm sure it says that. I heard my preacher said that. I know it has to say that because the guy wore a tie when he said it. Being a little facetious, of course, but you know what? Oh, I read it in a printed page, therefore it must be true. And so, the idea that we were created with a purpose, we've also been given what we need to produce fruit. Like when God created this vineyard, He created a watchtower, He created a wine press, He gave them all that they needed, He created a wall. He says, I got you. Yeah. They were without excuse. That's what happens. The expectation that they will produce fruit. This isn't a heavy-handed expectation. They're making wine. Some of you like wine. Some of you like a lot of wine. Good for you. See, when God sent servants like the prophets to remind Israel that they were supposed to bear fruit, they beat one, killed another, stoned a third, and then He sent more servants. There's so much insight here. I will encourage you to read Psalm 118. That they are rejected. And what Jesus says about Himself was remarkable. One of the renowned structures in a lot of places are holy buildings, like the temples that were constructed. And they generally start from a quarry of rocks that are different places. And Jesus is expressing this idea that a temple to be built on which you put your life on needs to start with the right cornerstone. And He says, He is that cornerstone. They looked at Him. And they rejected it. They rejected Him. There are different forms of rejection. Some people just push their hand in your face and push you over. Or a guy asks a girl out, and the girl says, Well, I have a boyfriend. She doesn't have a boyfriend. Or, I'm married. She isn't married. She's just trying to let him off. Reject him softly. I know I'm telling Mike Richards' life story there, but the idea is... But the whole idea, sometimes we reject God by filling it with other things. Yes. Sin. Addictions. Even good things. And that is preeminent in the Canadian culture. We are good people. We really are. Sometimes we substitute that for God, the chief cornerstone. The one on whom this building needs to be built. On whom this life needs to be built. And then he says something very interestingly. He says, you know, if you fall on a rock, you're going to get hurt. But if a rock falls on you, it's really bad. You choose which one. If we fall down and pay homage, we may get crushed. We realize I'm not as great as I think I am. I'm not God's gift to the world. But it's worse when it falls on you and it crushes you. Be humble. Don't wait to be humiliated. Get broken to pieces, but don't get crushed. Oh, the rock is going to be there. And so this morning, what I wanted to do, to remind you that choosing Jesus isn't a magic potion that guarantees a life of ease and happiness. We still live in a world that mostly rejects Jesus. And this is how amazingly loving God is. He gives us the choice to reject him.
There are innumerable areas of life where I realize I'm not like Jesus, okay? Let that be clear. This perhaps is the most daunting one. I will never give my children, especially when they were young, the chance to reject me. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of times they're pushing me away. I'm not taking no push. I'm putting my head in and I'm kissing and I'm hugging. And I said, no. You're my child. I love you. But to give them a chance to say no to you, it's a higher form of love that I cannot understand.
And he gives us that chance. Can I ask you to fall down and be broken before Jesus? Or risk being crushed? It's a powerful story. It's a story of the whole of creation. And that's what those middle 1185 chapters talks about. And the challenge is to find ourselves in that story. There's some part of that story in this, the first series, where you'll say, I need to work on my image of God, or expanding my story and learning to tell my story, or bringing in spirituality and understanding and defining those terms of repentance and bearing fruit in spirituality, or understanding the whole picture that this is a journey that we're on. We'll begin a series here in the book of Genesis that talks about creation.
Okay? And there were 7 promises made to Abraham that's found in the book of Genesis. And we'll go through this in details later on. God says to Abraham, I will bless you, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and I will make your name great. And this is where all these things were fulfilled. And then in Genesis 12, it says, I will make you into a great nation. And that's Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Genesis 12, 7, it says, to your offspring I will give this land. Joshua, Judges, Ezra, and Nehemiah. And then in Genesis 12, 3, that's the 7th one, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And thankfully, that includes us. And the Bible talks about this idea. And of course, in Acts, in the book of Acts, in the book of Luke, we see both where the kingdom was taken away, so to speak, and it now includes it was not for one people. And then kings will come from you, 1 and 2 Samuel, and 1 and 2 Kings. And so that's the story. That's the Bible. And the whole idea that unfolds in those many, many years is this. And the idea is to find ourselves in that story. Not to somehow bring God into our story. And the emphasis is on different places there. And so, in Revelation 22, and we close with this. This is what Jesus says. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give to each person according to what they have done. That's either a threat or a promise. To one person, they can't wait. To another person, I wonder what that interaction is going to be like. When I go to meet with my kids or with my parents, I'm not doubting what's going to happen when I see them. Pure love and joy. I can't wait. Tease them a little bit. That's my love language. And then the next verse, next chapter, chapter 22, verse 17. You're saying, I thought, Tony, you're not going to put the scriptures up here. These ones I wanted to, because I want you to see them. The Spirit and the Bride say, in Revelation 22, 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty, come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Amen. What? An incredible offer. Yes. Let me read that again. It's that good. Yes. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. That was offered. That is still the offer. That is the capstone, the cornerstone that is offered in us in Christ. And so as we have begun, we took an overview of our journey, our image of God. Why story? because we got to be in story. Why spirituality? We define those terms so when we use them, we can have language to communicate. And the idea, what is this story all about? Hopefully, I just presented you an overview of what we're going to be delving in for the next 3 years. Well, 2 years and 11 months now. It's this idea. And to understand what God has in store for you and for me. The next section is God's created world. And next week is going to be on creation and beauty. And I hope you guys notice it's a different badge. The first one was starting point. And this one is God's created. Just a little insight that, okay, I didn't create that. It was, some people created it and I just put it in there, all right? I'm not that creative. But next week we'll start in Genesis. We'll look at Genesis, the creation, what we call the creation story. You'll see some things there. I'm not sure you've even thought about to the depth. That's what we want, to see ourselves in the story. And while we may have rejected him initially, the offer is still there. For a free gift of the water of life. But don't trifle with him. And so as we take the communion this morning, that reminds us of what Christ has done for us and to us, that while the people to whom he was sent rejected him, and even at one time in our life when we rejected him, when we shook our fist at him, sometimes we had a soft rejection and other times we had a hard rejection of who he was. Till we concocted stories in our minds where this couldn't be true. Why is he so harsh? Why is he so mad? What is it about other religions? Well, what about it? When we see ourselves in this story and what he has done, and we at one time were the wretches of the wretched, but because of Christ, we now have become people who are planted by streams of water, who can bear season, bear fruit in and out of season. That what flows from us is not something that in and of ourselves that is so beautiful, but what God has created in us. That's the story of our faith. Would you let it be the story of your faith? That's the story. Let us give thanks for his mercy and his grace, that when we once rejected him, he still sent others. He still sent others. Let's give thanks for his son. If you don't have communion supplies, please raise your hand. The ushers will come beside you. And when you get them, please put your hands down so we know who has been served. Let's pray. Oh God, we are so humbled that you have chosen us. It's not because of how good we are. It's how good you are. Thank you for allowing us and opening up our eyes and our hearts so that we can understand your story and how we can fit in your story. Thank you for sending your son, that you didn't obliterate us, that you did not treat us as our sins deserve. You did not have an equivocation of our hurt against your son, but rather you led with love and mercy and grace and kindness
and goodness.
And Father, it's for this reason that we come together every Sunday and we thank you for sending your Son. I pray as we take this communion, we're reminded of that. Your patience was long-suffering. You watched over the many offenses that we had, and you allow us to surrender to the cornerstone who, after we have done, we are now built our lives on him. Please forgive us. At times we stumble, yet our heart is turned towards you. We want to find ourselves and be faithful to the end so that we hear, "Well done, my good, faithful, fruitful servant." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.